نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وآله وسلم أما بعد
الحمد لله praise be to Allah this very blessed and great night in this night, within this night, Allah Ta'ala again to us, He has given us the opportunity to come to His home, to gather and assemble in His home, to do dhikr, to remember Him. Rabiul Awwal is following its course, and this year, Rabiul Awwal, this is the last night of Jummah in Rabiul Awwal. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. The start of this month, we started with the majlis of dhikr, gathering of dhikr, and we have continued with the dhikr of Allah during this time. And as great as this month is, the amount that this month is great, full of barakat and honor, in the same way, in this month, due to which this month gained greatness and virtue, fazilat, and due to that great personality who came in this month to the world, the Pious Elder said that if in this month the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's kathir dhikr is performed, then it's like all year long for a mu'min, it is lazim, essential, that always he mentions and praises the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this month, especially in this month of Rabiul Awwal, in abundance, high quantity, to discuss the fazail of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially about those things to mention a lot, those things that are beloved to Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to practice upon them. So, if this is done, the pious elders, the pious predecessors have stated that, Alhamdulillah, if you do kathir darood, salat wa salam, because darood, salat wa salam, has high status. There are many virtues of darood, and in this month, extremely a lot. Once, if a person recites darood, and Allah gives tawfiq, then what a great reward for that individual from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 10 mercies descend on that person. 10 sins are forgiven. And in Jannah, 10 levels he ascends, gains. And in his book of deeds, 10 deeds are recorded, good deeds are recorded. So this is the virtue of durood. Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he stated that individual makes a habit that every day in the morning and the evening, if 10 times he recites durood, salatu wasalam, how long does it take? Doesn't take long at all. 10 times morning and evening, any durood you can select and recite. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is hadith in Tabarani, this is narrated by Hazrat Abu Darda, that whoever does this action, that every day in the morning and the evening he recites the durood 10 times, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my intercession will definitely reach to that person. What a great statement. What a great guarantee. Alhamdulillah. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anhu narrated a hadith on the same topic of durood. that when an individual recites durood, then an angel is appointed. That angel takes that durood and presses it between its wings, and then it flies up and presents it in the court of Allah. Imagine one durood sharif. Where does a human being reach by reciting durood sharif? Look at the glory of durood sharif. So it's stated, the angel presents that durood, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to that angel, that this durood, take it back to his grave. Obviously everyone's going to die, and all of us, we don't know where our grave is, do we? At the moment, where we're going to die, are we going to die here, there, or in Medina, mashallah? So Allah knows. So Allah says to the angel, go and go back to his grave, where his grave will be. Take this durood, and then that angel, for that individual, continues to recite astaghfar and give coolness to his eyes. So my brothers, durood sharif, subhanallah, is great, great reward. And especially in this month, the pious predecessors have stated that praising the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reciting durood, and then do amal on the sunnah, to practice the sunnah, the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to improve our deficiencies. Allah has given us chances through the different months. Then what happens, that this month, Rabiul Awwal, the fadail, the barakah, the virtues, they continue, the effect continues for the rest of the year. The rest of the year, alhamdulillah, the barakat, for the rest of the year, he gets that virtue. Virtues, the barakat, the blessings due to this month. And his iman is increased, strengthened, heightened. It goes and affects his iman. Now, what is iman? Let's look at this for a second. What connection has Allah Ta'ala put the human being with iman? What's the connection, relationship? Because the real, you can say, foundation, basis is iman, faith. Everything is based on our faith, our iman, our belief. Wherever Allah Ta'ala speaks, mentions amal, action, Allah speaks about amal, iman first. Yes? Amanu wa amalu salihah. Doesn't matter how good the deeds are, how big they are, but it's coming after iman. Iman, amanu wa amalu salihah. In other words, if you have iman, then you have deeds. If you don't have belief, iman, then where are the deeds? There will be no acceptance. There's no power. There's no status, weight on the deeds. So the success of deeds is based on the platform, the grounding, which is iman. Otherwise we see those who don't have iman, do they not worship? If we look in a worldly basis, they do a lot of actions. Lot of actions, but there's no benefit. Nothing is like dust, soil. But if with iman you do even the minutest of deeds, the doors of paradise will open for you. So where's the power lying? Is it the deed or is it iman? Iman has the power. Iman has the strength. Belief. Faith. So the foundation for the human being, the platform, is iman. Faith. And due to your iman, the whole of success lies due to your iman. After that, real iman, genuine iman. If your iman is weak, then your deeds will be weak. If your iman is strong, then your situation will be strong. If your iman is solid, then your deeds will be solid. So I will request again, we are sat here for this purpose, that alhamdulillah we should improve our weaknesses, whatever we like hearing. We should practice on what we hear, we like. That's why we're sat to have this niyyah, so that our iman strengthens, so we have benefit of coming and sitting. So understand what I say and listen attentively to what I say. Listen attentively to what I say. So success is based on the iman of the individual. If your iman is strong, your deeds will be strong. If you have iman, faith, then your deeds have weight. If you have no iman, then the currency is fake. You can practice what you want. The more your iman is weak, the same way our amal, our deeds, will start to become weak. And in the hereafter, we'll get no reward for that. So what is iman? What is belief? What is faith? Because the deeds, the success is based on the foundation of iman. So what is iman? What is faith? We need to understand this. Iman, the foundation of iman is on love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love for the Prophet of Allah. So remember this now. Iman, the foundation of iman is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love for the Prophet. So now what do we see? This sequence here now, yeah? It's a sequence, isn't it? So deeds, amal, have no weight, no strength, if there's no iman. And iman has no weight, no strength, until you don't have love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you don't have love for Rasulullah sallam, then your iman is a waste. Look at this point and understand this point. So the genuine point is, what is the real foundation? The foundation is hubbi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of the success is based on the foundation of the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of our deen, it's formulated on the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Love for him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said himself. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrates this hadith, may Allah be pleased with him. And this is a unique hadith and a beautiful, unique way. The qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said himself in a unique way these words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Walladhi nafsi biyadihi, look how he said this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life. He said, the Prophet of Allah swore by Allah, لا يؤمن أحدكم, that human being cannot be a person of faith, he cannot be a believer. Allah's Nabi said, لا يؤمن أحدكم, he cannot be a mu'min, a believer at all. Who? حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده وولده والناس أجمعين. أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That human being can never be a believer. It doesn't matter how much he claims. And look here. How much a person can claim that he's got iman, he can do many things. But he is not a mu'min, he cannot be a believer, he does not have iman. Who? حتى أكون. He didn't just say that he doesn't have the love. He said, حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَلَدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, that all of the things in the dunya, he stretched it to that whole scene. No relative, father, children, وَمِنْ نَاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, that all the human beings can come in comparison to me. This is that we need to think now, that we are to die tomorrow, my brothers. And tomorrow, what will be successful, what useful for us at death? Iman. And this iman, deeds will not come in use. What will come in use first? Iman. First, iman will be asked from us, Min Rabbuka, Man Rabbuka, Man Rasuluka. So have we ever thought about this point? That do I have iman? What faith do I have? What level of iman do I have? What strength of iman will I go with into my grave? Amal, deeds are third. They're third in line. That's the final question, deeds. Before that, there's other questions. Very important masala question we need to understand today. This will pull a person together. Death will just rub a person down, dust a person down. Severe situation. The Prophet says that those salah, nothing, he's not a mu'min. First of all, show your certificate. Which certificate? That you have love, and such a love that the Prophet ﷺ is defining, such a love, then the whole world, any human being, all of the loves put to one side of the dunya, all the people, and my love should overweigh all of that, said the Prophet ﷺ. What does this mean? That any love of the world cannot reject or refuse or contest against my instruction. Any of my instructions, said the Prophet. Nothing should compete with my obedience, with my following, with my imitation. Nothing can come over that. If something does in your life, if something's more important for you, overwhelms that, then there's no iman. La yu'minu ahadakum hatta. What a big, big measurement gauge. Do you understand? Everyone knows this hadith. So what a great measurement gauge analysis for us to measure. Look at it. So what do we learn? What do we learn? That no deed has any weight, any power, until you don't have iman, belief. And your faith, belief has no weight, no power. It won't be asked about it. if you don't have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah, and your love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is genuine, that love will be asked and accepted. Which love? Which is overwhelming and weighs over and stronger than everything else. Nothing competes. Your money, your children, your family, nothing should compete against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how has he stated this? The Prophet ﷺ swore by Allah that there's no doubt at all. For the Prophet ﷺ to say it was enough. But he went beyond that. He said, I swear by my Rabb. He swore by Allah, isn't it? In whose hands is my life? I swear by my Mawla, my Lord, that this is the fact, even if I didn't swear or promise. So who did he speak about? Love. He spoke about his love. And here a beautiful point comes out. And here the point ends. The discussion ends, isn't it? The discussion ends. But a very great personality, we're talking about the whole ummah, the nation. Remember this. And the point doesn't end here. It doesn't end here, the point. How, actually? Where did we stop? That whatever there is now, success is based on the love for the Prophet of Allah. So end of story, isn't it? Whoever has love, he has iman. And if he's got iman, then his deeds will be there. And if he's got deeds, then he'll have Jannah and Allah will be happy as well. There's a sequence. Sequence. I say, I've got love for Rasulullah. And Zaid says, he's got love for the Prophet. And Bakr says, that I'm a lover of the Prophet. And on the other hand, nafs and shaitan are present. Listen to this. So where's he going to get a person from? The nafs and shaitan. Where's he going to get a person from? So we learn that nafs and shaitan won't take your iman. Where will they go and grab you? At the point of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That here we need to deviate the person. Say subhanallah. So we're talking about these points that we are looking at ourselves. Look at our weaknesses so we can improve. Pull ourselves together. Do you understand? So where will nafs and shaitan deviate us? Where will they spoil us? On our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is their methodology. That, oh, you've got love for the Prophet, and you're a lover because you cry and you're an ashik and you feel emotions, etc. They'll make us feel this. This is what that you have most love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are a good person. So everybody can claim that they've got love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for example, I had a friend, and he said, I trust you, or he says to me, I love you. How do I know that he's going to deceive me? People do deceive. In the world we see deception. How do I know that person's going to deceive me? That I love him. He loves me. He says, I love you. I have regard for you. What dalil proof does he have that he has love for me? Is there any proof? We can't see inside anyone. So this is that situation, same situation. Munafiqeen, hypocrites, used to come to the Prophet ﷺ, say that we love you. And they used to pray with the Prophet ﷺ, say subhanallah. They used to claim their love. They used to pray or not, tell me, with the Prophet ﷺ. Don't hypocrites. They used to claim, announce. Yes, they made their masjid. So who could look into their heart? Analyze their heart, scan their heart. They stood. We love you, O Prophet of Allah. We stand with you, we pray with you. And on the other side, we had the companions, the Sahaba. They said, we've got love as well. So now here, this is a fantastic point. Now here, shaitan attacks a person. Shaitan, that the false love. Because look here, a man, a human being, sometimes, regularly, he thinks that his love, although it's fake, he thinks it's genuine. He's doing an action because shaitan has made him habitual on action. He thinks, no, I'm fine. I'm a lover of the Prophet ﷺ. I'm a believer. My love is genuine. My muhabbat is genuine. What can you do? What can anyone doubt? Because shaitan has made him falsely believe that he's a believer. Shaitan says, you're fine. But it's a wrong action that he's doing. It's not difficult. So here now, how can a person realize or learn that, am I right in my love for the Prophet ﷺ? Right or wrong? Am I wrong somewhere? Say subhanallah. How can a person understand that? Because shaitan has trapped that person. He's entrapped that person. And he thinks he's okay with this action. This was the same point through which the sects, the groups of people who claim the love. I'm a lover, you're a lover, he's a lover, I have love. Every person is staunch on his position and claim. Shaitan said, you are correct, you are correct, you are correct. Because the basis now is only one is left, the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if you've got love, you've got iman, and you will have deeds, and you're going to paradise. Sequence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given justice on this question to eradicate this deception and to give the answer, man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. Clear definition. What does Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Subhanallah. Whenever there's my obedience, wherever there's my love, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you claim my love, whoever says he loves me, then it is essential, compulsory that he must obey me and imitate me. It cannot be that person claims that he loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he doesn't imitate him. Or he doesn't follow him. Say subhanallah. Impossible. So whoever claims he has love but he doesn't imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's a hypocrite. Nifaq has overwhelmed that person. Even if he considers he's right, immediately he should have that measurement gauge, the ruler. I'm doing an action. Am I a true lover? Do I feel like this? Am I a true lover? I'm doing this action. Am I a true lover? So which ruler should he use? Immediately look at the ruler, the measurement gauge. That on which level do I do ittiba and obedience and imitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my life? If he sees that he's very weak in itaat, in obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I'm claiming love and I do have love. I do have love, but shaitan has twisted my love. He has looted my love. He has attacked my love. He has deluded my love. And he's made me fall into a trap, into a trick. And he's given me the wrong stance. So come, let me see that measurement against the ruler that Allah Ta'ala said, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. The Quran speaks about the ruler that we need to use, the measurement gauge. Analysis. There's only one sign, O my Mahbub. Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna, you, O my Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If people claim they love you, then only if they imitate you and obey you, can they claim this. If with your love in parallel, there's no obedience to your Prophet of Allah, then understand it's very dangerous. Shaitan has trapped you, put you into a net. He's throwing you around. I'm weak in obedience. Whenever there's words of obedience and imitating the Prophet, my legs start to shake, I start to sweat, and I get excuses, and I don't feel like doing it, and I say, sorry, I can't do it, and I start running after the dunya, and the pressure of the dunya comes. But in my heart, I do have love. I have a lot of love. If you say, I'll do this, I'll do that. But this action of obedience I can't do, because the real love for Rasulullah, I cannot implement it. What a big deception. Big deception. And what standard or level is that person on then? Remember, on every level, whatever standard you claim, whatever situation you are in the world, but there's only one way to measure your deen, that how does that person imitate and obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. What a great message of Rabiul Awwal, huh? Great message of this month. So, on every circumstance in life, wherever you are, you can only measure yourself with one ruler. People praise you, the world praises you, gives you titles, names, balle balle, acclaim him. Wherever you are, in whatever career, subject of the deen, Islam, whatever work you're doing of the deen. But to analyze, to understand, am I right or wrong? Everything I'm doing, is it right or wrong? Have I become deviated? What's the measurement gauge? فَاتَّبِعُونِي مَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي. Why? Because this is the situation in parallel. We have to understand it. The basis is iman. And iman is based on love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam depends on obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Following his ways. Following him. We say that we are from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But everything is there. The great, great verse has... Iqbal, maybe his forgiveness, salvation will be just on this share, on this poem. The rest we don't know. Just on this one poem, this one verse, he said such a great thing that subhanAllah, what a great recitation. Because a great message is given. The whole Quran he has summarized here. The whole Quran. The old lovers, old people who say, shouting out and claiming and announcing, those who do ibadah and worship, there's only one sign of acceptance. That you must follow and imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at his maqam. What does Allah say about his status?
So great is maqam, wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. Wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. Me and you, how can we praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can we? Are we capable? That no human being has the power, the ability to praise the Rasulullah sallam. Because if Allah has said about, if Allah Ta'ala is mentioning and praising and glorifying the status of the Prophet, tell me here, there's a unique point I'm telling you here. You remind, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and praises something, listen attentively to what I'm saying. These are words I've heard from a pious predecessor, not from myself. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions virtues and praises, what is the fazilat? Then the level of that never stops. The greatness of that, what Allah Ta'ala mentions, never stops. It continues to increase until Qiyamah. If Allah mentions the fazilat of something, the virtues of something, it doesn't stop there. It continues to multiply until Qiyamah. So Allah said about His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, that you will continue to be elevated. You will continue to be elevated. In other words, O Rasulullah, every second your status increases until Qiyamah. So how can I praise the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam if Allah said this? Can anyone praise the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? If Allah is saying this, the end of the story then. So great is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So glorious is his personality. So such is his eminence. He's so majestic. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is his imitation and following him? That every action of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you do it, it is worship. What other worship is there in our life? What are the worship? Every action of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is worship. This becomes worship to follow his lifestyle. The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a person comes. Let's say a person comes from the desert area, a nomad. He comes, he has iman, recites the kalima. How great does he become? That until Qiyamah, no human being can compare to his status, to a Sahabi. Why? Because that Sahabi has arrived to that level after bringing iman. He has arrived to that level of love and ishq that no other Muslim can get to that level. How was he elevated? What elevated that Sahabi? The love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first and foremost, the person, a companion, when he used to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what used to go inside him first? Ishq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Love for the Prophet went in first. Did they have any deeds? Did they have salah before them? Had they done Hajj? Nothing. They went, they sat, and they saw the Prophet ﷺ, and the stamp was given of approval that he's a Sahabi. And the Sahaba Ikram, their iman, their darajat were increased, not because they were related to the Prophet ﷺ. No. Yes. What caused their levels to increase and multiply? All that they gained was due to their love for the Prophet ﷺ. Hazrat Sadiq Akbar, Abu Bakr Sadiq, was due to his love. Everyone accepts this. Due to his love for the Prophet ﷺ. All the Sahaba, after the Prophet ﷺ, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was the greatest human being. Brother Mujaddad al-Afthani, rahmatullahi, said a unique statement. He said that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq's level is such that in front of a mirror, if you put his reflection, then subhanAllah, just like the Prophet ﷺ, if you see, then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, he was like the reflection of the Prophet ﷺ, his character. Say subhanAllah. His character. So my brothers, all of the basis of the deen, the foundation of the deen is on the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the love is, the foundation of the love of the Prophet is on his obedience, on his following, on his imitation, following him. On practicing the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this same thing is the most fantastic, that the thing that was present in all of the companions was what? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, they implemented it, they practiced it, they imitated him, they followed him physically. How many examples can we discuss? What small examples and big examples, you'll be amazed. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is walking, and he's walking past, and he sat down suddenly. And after a while, he went out and he sat down somewhere. And his companion said, "Where did you go? And why did you sit there?" He said that nothing special. He said, "You sat there for a while." He said, "Here the Prophet ﷺ sat for a while, and he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came here to urinate. So for that reason I came here, so I could also fulfill that sunnah. So how can I pass by here and not fulfill the sunnah?" Now, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was passing by a place, he came back. Someone said to him, "Why did you rub your body there on that tree, that place? Why did you do that?" He said, "For that reason that I walked with the Prophet one day here, and I saw that his blessed body touched that. that piece of nature. He said that how can I pass by and then not do the same and not fulfill that sunnah? So this was their darajat, their level. That's why the iman was kamil, complete, the sahaba ikram, the noble companions. We want to make our iman kamil, complete through Hajarul Aswad, etc. from amal, from deeds, isn't it? From deeds. This is the point, isn't it? No, not at all. To make your iman complete, kamil, how? By obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, what's our situation? No, it's not necessary to do this, is it? Why should we follow this? Why do we need to do this? What's the benefit of doing this? It's not necessary. If you say somebody to something about the sunnah, he says, no, leave that. It's not. Talk to me about something else. Well, let's talk about something more important. That this is how we demote the sunnah and the whole ummah today. That the Holy Prophet says about his sunnah, no one has no, there's no magnitude. Is it the part of the deen of anybody? Maybe in some conference, speech, someone talks about sunnah, but nobody is stressed about it, nobody thinks about it. It's not that the ummah is lamenting, crying, we're not practicing sunnah. If they're thinking that today we are wretched and cursed and we're so down, the reason is this. But does anyone think, oh, that battle, this, that, and clash? Look, I can't remember the name, there was a big clash that took place. And there was no victory, the Sahaba Ikram, and they wrote a letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, the companions, that, Amir, we're not succeeding here. We don't know what's lacking in us, what we've missed, we don't understand. The Sahaba Ikram wrote to Amir, what is the reply he wrote? Hazrat Umar. He didn't say anything that this is wrong, you're this. He said, because the mu'min's yaqeen, believer, a mu'min fails, where his imitation and following of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is weak. But we don't believe in this at all today. We complain. The silsila, success are from there. That if imitation and lifestyle of the Prophet is lacking, then our love is lacking. If the love is lacking, then our iman is lacking. If the iman is lacking, then our deeds are lacking. If this is the deeds lacking, then what success will we get after that? Tell me. On this point, we have no belief. We run after other things. We make effort. Do this, do that. We'll succeed from here. Do this and that. No. Whenever a mu'min is facing toughness and challenges, where should he run to? That my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there must be something lacking in my following of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In my home, there must be something lacking from the sunnah. And when me, you, because I'm there, if I see something lacking in my life, what does shaitan say? Oh yaar, it's not necessary, is it, to follow this? This is a big, big injection, evil he injects into our minds. Oh, it's not necessary to do this, is it, the shaitan says. No, you don't have to practice this sunnah. It's not wajib. It's not compulsory, is it? Allah has put this condition on fattabiuni. That's it. Allah doesn't give in levels, this. Allah says, fattabiuni, imitate the Prophet. Yeah? Otherwise, the Rasul said, that practice this and leave that, or leave that, do this, don't do this. Allah's Nabi gave no classification. Allah just said one thing. What? Ittaba. Footstep by footstep. To follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow him, that's it. Today even today, and the times to come, if ever the ummah, the time has befallen the ummah, and difficulties we are stuck in, then what is it? Rabbana zalamna anfusana. We are doing dhulm on our own selves. We have left our Nabi, our Prophet. When we leave the Nabi, then we've left the Quran, we've left the Kaaba, we've left the Prophet, we left Medina, we left everything. All of the rest is a drama. All of this is a drama. In the masjid, there's no rule, no spirituality. In the Quran, there's no spirituality. In the tilawah recitation, there's no spirituality. In our sujood, there's no spirituality. In our prostration, no spirituality. In our recitations, no spirituality. The tears that come crying, lamenting. In salah, people are crying every day. All of this then becomes what? All of this becomes drama, shaitan. Yes, shaitan, if he comes to me, just like people who are false, they go into hal, and there's false emotions, because they're all liars, because shaitan overwhelms them. Do you understand that? He goes into them. He influences them. He drives them. There was an individual, Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Thani, I think I've told you this before. He came, and he was a big Sheikh Paisalda, and he came to meet Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Thani, rahmatullah alayhi. And as soon as he came, Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Thani was sat there, he was sat there as well, and when he said something, he started to shake. He said, I'm in wajd, emotions. And the sort of came, and then the earth started to shake underneath him. This is all due to the effect of Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani. And in fact, but he didn't know this, but he was Mujaddad, say Subhanallah, the reviver of the deen. And he came to meet him, and he came to affect Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, that there's no effect in this, all of this. Even if the earth shakes or the sky shakes, doesn't make any difference to the Mujaddad. No difference to Mujaddad. And he said to his Khadim, that bring my miswak. He said to his attendant, look at the strength of his iman. The miswak that we do is the sunnah of Rasulullah. Sunnah, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, he said, go and bring my miswak. He brought the miswak, and Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani put his miswak on the ground. And forget that the earth stopped shaking. Even he came to his senses, the man. He said that you are shaking, yeah? There's no power in this. There's no strength in this. Don't look at these miracles. If Mujaddad wants right now, he said, rahmatullah, then bidhnillah, with Allah's permission, if I want with Allah's permission, all the qabristan, the people in the graves, they will stand alive. With Allah's permission. But these things have no power. This can be istidraj, it could be a mirage. It could be a vision. In deen, the power is only in one thing, and don't look anything else, and that is sunnah te Rasulullah, obedience to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is where the strength lies. Without sunnah, you enjoyment, you feeling good, emotions, these are dramas, hal and emotions, and visions and dreams. All of this is drama of shaitan that he instills inside the human being, my friends. Yes. Because the shaitan has come with a mission. He wants to deviate man, give him delusion. He wants to drag this qawm, the ummah, into Jahannam. He said that to Allah. He promised, isn't it? He said, Allah, I will take everyone into hellfire. But the mukhlisin of deen, who are the mukhlisin? They are those same people of ikhlas, sincerity, who imitate. And the standard of their Islam is what? Ittabai, following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the standard of the believer. He cannot be affected by shaitan. Do you like what I'm saying, my words today, brothers? Do you like what I'm saying? Yes, we should do this. Rabiullah was departing, leaving us. We should leave Rabiullah in this way. We should promise to Allah that the amount of life we're going to spend, we're not going to make anything else stand in all our lives. Nothing. No ibadah worship is nothing. All ibadah worship, everything comes under the practice, the following of the Prophet. They have no power, the ibadah. No power, no status of our deeds, of our practice, unless there's obedience to the Prophet. Without imitating the Prophet, no action, no deed is any power. But shaitan has played such dramas with us. He's influenced us, deluded us into a false impression that without imitation of the sunnah, that we have something. No, everything there is, all success. All success, whatever we're going to attain in this world or the hereafter. In the world, what does it mean? That all status, honor in this world, honor, titles, respect, whatever you want to earn, whatever the ummah is going to get in the world, is through imitating the Prophet. Wretchedness, curse, being looked up down upon, and being branded as bandits, and falling down, will die, will become zaleel, oppressed. When we cease to practice the sunnah of the Prophet. Allah is not connected, doesn't matter, you can go to the Kaaba, embrace it. You can embrace the Kaaba and fall into prostration and pass away. Cry, do what you want, you'll get nothing at all. Nothing at all. Remember this. Only one action will give us the success. Only one method in this world and in the hereafter. In this world, a person cannot succeed. Even if he's poor, despite being poor, he'll have the high respect and status amongst the people in the world. Even if he's poor, wealth-wise, he'll never be rich. Poor, he'll be rich, wealthier than everybody else. This is our standard of success. This is the basis of our life. Individually, collectively, nationally, internationally, wherever we're destroyed and wretched and losing out, what is it? Forget conferences, forget marches, forget anything. There's no cure. Look, is there something lacking in our lives in the practice of the sunnah? What was I saying to you? Yes, so the sahaba wrote to us, Umar, radiallahu anhu, that we can't win this battle. We're not victorious. We're trying hard. We've got power, strength, we've got numbers, but we're not succeeding against the opposition. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu wrote back that somewhere or rather you have compromised on a sunnah. So the sahaba got together. What sunnah are we not practicing? And they got to the conclusion, maybe the miswak sunnah, we're not doing it properly. So they conferred. So they wrote back, and I can't remember which company it was, his name. He said, every man take your miswaks out, everyone who hasn't got, and everyone then climbed onto the trees, the Sahaba, all climbed onto the trees, they broke off miswak from the branches. When the enemy saw this, what they're doing here, they're sharpening their teeth, oh, so they're going to bite us alive, then they ran away from them. They scarpered, so much awe overcame them of the sunnah that they ran away. And what gave the victory? The sunnah gave the victory. Sunnah. Today, what's our hal? Oh, we're finished. Oh, we've lost everything. Oh, politics, this, that, the astaghfirullah. Rabbana dhalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna. We should be lamenting ourselves, crying to ourselves, blaming ourselves. We should be mourning in our own homes. We should be mourning in our own homes, crying that we've left you, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We haven't just left you like this. We said we are lovers. Yes, of course, every Muslim naturally has love for the Prophet. No doubt. No doubt. How can it be there's a Muslim who does not have love? Of course, it's impossible. A person who recites kalama and he's a no-man, he's not a lover, he doesn't have muhabbat. Of course, he cannot be. Because in the kalama, there's such an effect and a weight that Allah's put that even the worst of individuals, the lowest, but he is immersed in the love for the Prophet. You can test this practically. Test it. Yes, the Muslim who has iman, he will definitely have love because it's the effect and the color of the kalima, shahada. He has said, Muhammad al-Rasulullah, he's accepted. It's a minor statement that Allah's Prophet to say his name with iman from your tongue, then the nur goes inside you. The rest is your deeds. You don't do the deeds, maybe fine. So the point here is, do you understand the point I'm saying? That the mount, what is it that's given that love and that power of iman inside? It's the storm that's brewed by his iman. If only, if that power comes by saying that name, that if we practice on the platform we're discussing, then imagine that person where he becomes that same human being. Yes, that 70 times over a person in a day he used to see the Prophet in ziyarah. 70 times over. Imam Suyuti said, rahmatullahi, that if in Bidari there was no ziyarah, then I consider that I've passed away. That my iman's gone if I don't do ziyarah of the Prophet. Imagine the daraja of his iman, imagine the level of the iman. Do you understand the level of the iman? That imagine how much sunnah he was practicing to get that status. As a Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullahi, imagine his status. That he was near to the time of death, near to the time of death. And he was about to pass away, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani, the revival of the deen. And he was like nearly unconscious. And in that state, he called out, is there a young child, a baby, bring him to me. They said, what's the reason? They were surprised that bring a child who's been born, newly born, bring that child to me. Bring him to me. They went, his attendants, they looked for a child, a baby, brought him back to him, put him into his lap. And then that child urinated. He said, oh, I fulfilled this sunnah as well. And he was happy. As a Mujaddad al-Thani. That sunnah he remembered whilst he was passing away, that I've not practiced the sunnah. That a woman, she brought a child to give azan for some reason to the lap of the Prophet, and he urinated on the lap of the Prophet. He said, I haven't fulfilled that sunnah yet in my life. He thought about, I'm dying, I haven't completed sunnah, please quickly bring the child. Allah helped, and he fulfilled that sunnah. He practiced it before he passed away. So if Mujaddad al-Aftani, he could have passed away with that, what difference would it make? But he said, no, I don't want to leave any sunnah, because in my mind there will be lacking something. In my darajah there will be lacking something, in the love of Allah there will be lacking something, in my status I'll have nothing to my name then. And let's look at ourselves now. We look at our talk, look at our politics, our discussions, we run around talking. Look at our hal of our ummah. How much connection do we have with our Prophet? How much connection do we have with our Rasul? Think for a moment. How much connection do we have with him? Relationship. Today, if you talk about the sunnah, people start fighting with you if you talk about the sunnah. They'll fight with you about obedience to the sunnah. Thousands of clashes. Today, the question doesn't arise if you say to someone, oh, practice on this, this is a sunnah, it's a sunnah. In your house, you have issues, problems. The reason is that you're not practicing the sunnah. He'll grab your neck and say, oh, how dare you? You think you're Maulana and scholar. You say, brother, what's here? Oh, we pray Salah, that's enough. The people fight over this topic. Yeah, they think they're doing a favor, we're praying Salah. Why are you telling me about Sunnah? What amal, what is it, what reaction is in our lives do not practice the Sunnah? That, my friends, this ibadah of Salah, whose actions created Salah? Whose practice this is? Ruku, sajda, raising hands, going into prostration. Who did this action? Sometimes he tied his hands, opened his hands, said Ameen, and he put his legs here and feet here. All his actions are what? That every action of Salah generates and develops Iman. But this is the love of the Prophet of Allah. Allah's Nabi, just like he prayed and showed us and demonstrated that he created such an action that the love for the action came to hearts and he made a fiqh, Shafi, Maliki, Hanafi, Hanbali, different ways of praying as well, different opportunities. And this faqir says, in reality, there's nothing to clash and argue about. Rather, the sunnah of Rasulullah is being revived through the four schools of jurisprudence. Because Allah loves every action of the Prophet. Whatever he did, Allah wanted to continue that until Qiyamah. So why do we argue about it? Do it this way, you do this way. He can say it loudly, he can say it quietly. Someone can tie his hands there. Someone can recite Fatiha loudly, quietly. Everything is jais. Say Subhanallah. Why? Because looking from this eyesight, not from fiqh or jurisprudence, don't start giving me fatwas, oh, you know, speaking on jurisprudence. Just look from that microscope of love and muhabbat, that how much Allah Ta'ala loves his Habib, so that he didn't want any of his actions to go to waste. That's why Allah Ta'ala revived them through the schools of jurisprudence. But how zaleed we are, wretched that we don't even take any action. No, it's not necessary. Why is turban necessary? Oh, we don't need to grow the beard. We don't need to keep it this long. It's not necessary to do this. How can we succeed? Think yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? How can we succeed? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is there any life success without sunnah? Then my friends, we need to correct our homes. Otherwise believe, never will we get peace in the grave, in this world, nor after dying, will our children will swear at us, oh, he never left anything as well. He never taught us anything as well. After we pass away. Today, If we pick up the book of sunnahs, subhanAllah, from the beginning to the end, practice on everything, how to wake up in the morning, how to eat, how to drink, how to walk, how to come, how to go. Every single action, what libas did the Prophet like, don't think it's not necessary, etc. Leave. What did the Prophet, what did he eat, what did he like? Did he like honey? What was this? What was that? Then you realize that Rasulullah did this action? Yes, I'm going to do it as well. Such complete will your deen become. Such complete deen will become that subhanAllah, the angels will come down to give you salam. That is very far away. That the Holy Prophet ﷺ, we will start to do his ziyarah. We will start to see him in the dream. We will start to meet him. Tell me. But we put the veils and the curtains in between. Because the way that Allah has created us, given us iman and faith and made us believers, given us Quran, given us masjids, everything is given to us. And we have left everything behind. His practice. We just practice the deen that we like. And inside shaitan, he's made us feel that one person is practicing wrong. And he makes us passion and feel good. And he puts passion in us. Everyone's got his own passion, his own understanding, his own yaqeen, his own certainty, his own methodology. He thinks he's got iman and he considers he's correct. Everyone stood on, put the mirror in front of you, put the mirror of following the Prophet ﷺ, put that mirror in front of you. Then stand in front of that mirror and say, tell me mirror, how much passion do I have? How much love do I have? Let me see for sure that am I really doing the right thing? And all arguments will finish at that day. All arguments, how much in my life is there following the Prophet ﷺ? That's it. How much rights am I fulfilling of the people at home, outside, at home, the neighbors? That in obedience to the Prophet, all actions come, isn't it? Not just sunnah that you keep the beard. Sunnah isn't just that you have libas. Everything comes in. Zahir, batin, external, internal, akhlaqiyat, character. Everything comes under the banner of the sunnah. Yes, business, eating, drinking, halal, haram, walking, talking, traveling, everything. Ibadat, worship. Ibadah is one part of the deen, worship. Ibadah, worship is one part of the deen. From the 10 parts, 1/10 is ibadah, worship. 9/10 is the rest. 1/10 you get in the masjid, 9/10 you get out in society. Say subhanAllah. 9/10 of Islam. So masjid is 1/10 of the deen. Sujood, prostration, 1/10, 10% of the deen. The real deen, the real Islam is outside the masjid. Islam is there. Yes, all the whole deen we have sealed here just in the masjid. In the outside there's no deen. Outside the Muslim, we say, no, I'm here, I'm a real Muslim here, just speak to me, I'm a solid Muslim. Ramadan, I pass, Islamically, Taraweeh, all arguments take place in the masjid. Every argument is in the masjid amongst people, Islam, mashallah. Islam, all the clashes, arguments, and the real deen, our real Islam, which is 90% of Islam, we just do what we feel like outside. No point following the deen, we say. Oh, just do what you want, become what you want, have any name, and do what you want, we say. Labbaik. Yes? With any method, any technique, call me what you want, address me, labbaik, we'll do what we want, we say. That's it. That's where we say we have love. So each one, that you are this, arguing, criticizing, that I've told you the clashes between people today. You don't understand what I'm saying? So now what should we promise today? Rabiul Awwal is departing, it's the last night of Jummah in this blessed month. So let's promise to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that does not keep and cling on to the false iman. Because sequence we need to follow. Remember this now, summarize. That we consider amal, the deeds are a waste without belief. And iman, belief is a waste without love for the Prophet. And love for the Prophet is a waste without imitating and following him. This is the sequence. That's it. Keep this mirror in front of you. Then you'll realize what are we, how strong a Muslim am I, and what answers I can give in the grave and what I will not be able to answer. May Allah give me as well, and you also the tawfiq. And whatever the broken words that we've discussed, may Allah Ta'ala accept this in Rabiul Awwal. And we hope, once companion came, has Anas radiallahu came, I will summarize on this hadith. Then inshallah, if life stays, then in the next Rabiul Awwal we'll meet. Let's summarize a good topic, good discussion, and let's end with a good word, a good statement. So Hazrat Anas said that a companion came. It was a companion from the desert area. He said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." All the companions were sitting there. And he said, "When will Qiyamah come? The day of judgment? When is that time? Sa'ah. When is the moment? The hour?" Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your question is very big. Big magnitude. Important question you've asked. That when will Qiyamah come? The day of judgment. But you tell me that what preparation have you made for Qiyamah? What have you prepared for Qiyamah? Such a big question you're asking, that when will Qiyamah come? Look how the Prophet responded to the Ummah, to us. That what have you done to prepare? All the companions were listening. They said, "Wallahi ya Rasulullah. Ma kathiran salat. Sayam. Sadaqah. That totally, I continued to pray my fard salah. I didn't do too much extra. I kept on giving zakah. I didn't give some lengthy sadaqah, extra charity. I did what I needed to do. I didn't do anything extra. But yes, there's one thing. Yuhibb Allah wa Rasuluhu. That I give my all to Allah and His Rasul. So I have the ishq, the love. He was a sahabi. Now look at what was his basis of love. Not amal. What was it? Ittaba. Following. He said, "I follow you totally. I give my all. I have full ishq and love for you." Look at a beautiful statement he gave. So all the other deeds, I don't know about the extra deeds, but one thing, that in your ittaba, in following you, I give my all. I obey you. When you give an instruction, then you see what happens. Give the instruction. Allah's Nabi was silent. What answer would he give? After a while, he said, "Congratulations, Jibreel came with the Quran. Subhanallah, the wanabiyin wa suddiqeen wa shuhada wa salin wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa." They give him the good news. Tell him that whoever obeys you, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever imitates you and follows you, your lifestyle, then tell them that they will be raised with those same people. They will be raised on the day of judgment with those same people, with that same group. Nabiyyin wa siddiqeen wa shuhada wa salihin, that whoever he loves. So today if I love my Hazrat, my Shaykh, was the dalil, the proof, the words he told me, do I follow them, obey them, then tomorrow I'll stand with him inshallah. This is the promise of the Quran. But what's the condition? That the guidance of your Shaykh, when I took his hand, he took some promises from me. Have I come totally onto them? Am I fulfilling the promises? I'm completing those promises. Then the Quran has promised that, don't worry, that whoever you love, you will be raised with that group. So you will rise with the group of Siddiq. Say subhanallah. There's no relationship. There's one relationship. Muhabbat, the love. Generate love. Generate love, brothers. And how will you generate love? By doing it tabah, following the lifestyle. That when you take the hand of the Shaykh, the teacher, what's the first stage for Naful Shaykh? Give your all for the Shaykh. Immerse yourself in the love of the Shaykh. That if you are immersed in the love on the stairs, on those steps, then you will come to that group. Then he will include you in his group. Then you will continue. You'll get to the front of the queue. So, loving the Shaykh, the teacher, when the love of the Shaykh comes into your heart, how will the love of the Shaykh come? That the promises you made when you took his hand, then start to implement those promises. Halal, consider halal, unlawful, unlawful. Whatever ta'aleem education gives to you, practice that. Then that's your ittiba, obedience to the Shaykh. Obviously, then you are fana in his love, and you're fulfilling that love and fulfilling the promises, you will rise with that group. Very easy is the deen of Islam. It's not tricks and games and drama and fake pretense. Straightforward deen, my brothers. Then Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said that when this hadith, when this news arrived that Jibreel came with this verse, then he said that subhanallah, all of the sahaba were so happy that before today we had never demonstrated our love so much, expressed it outwardly, that we are successful now. We've got the answer. So my brothers, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, great good news, great good news. Just imitate and follow the Prophet ﷺ, try your best. And try your best that every action of the Prophet ﷺ, without any argument, without any criticism, this is the sunnah. Question doesn't arise that if it's sunnah, if the awliya Allah practiced it, sahaba practiced it, and that I'm not practicing it, then how can I be safe tomorrow? My shaykh is telling me this as well, my teacher, that then he starts to practice the sunnah. And how much should we practice? The amount that the Prophet ﷺ told us. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَلَدِهِ وَمَنَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. That no love of the world or the people of the world should overwhelm your love for me. When the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ comes in front of you, don't love, care about any other love of the world. Don't care about anyone else's words. Just kick them to the side. I'm not interested. I don't want to listen to anyone. I don't like it at all. Whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, I'm only going to do the imitation of the following of the Prophet ﷺ. I cannot leave this. أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ. That's the condition. The love for the Prophet ﷺ should be at the top of the list. That's it. That's the standard we should have. And in this, what is there? And this, there's enjoyment and quality of life. Sometimes you have to give and take. Sometimes you have to be patient. People will criticize you. But just be patient. Say, I can't leave this sunnah. Sorry, I can't. The job, say, no problem, it's fine. Allah gives the job. Gives the job, but I will try my best to get something else. No worries, Allah will give something. No, no, this haram. He said, no, I don't want haram, I want halal. I will go pass away hungry. Oh, may you gonna pass away hungry? You'll die hungry. It doesn't matter. I'm hungry. Allah gives rizq, or do you give rizq? Oh, that for example, when people try to leave the country and come with a visa, many people stamp the visas who come from there. Just think for a minute that where are we going? Have we got the courage here? Our children will be born here. We will have to live here. Tomorrow we'll have to answer for this. We have the desire to come here. Listen to me what I'm saying. We have a desire to come here. Oh, medicine, let's go here. Oh, I'm an engineer, let's go there now. Let's go away. Yes, a technical course you pass. Oh, let's go to England. Computer science degree, let's go to England. Everyone says, come, live here. Fine, children grow up. But will you be able to answer tomorrow? Because there's an environment here. And we are enjoying your lives. And there's a dunya. They're enjoying their life here. What can we say to them there? This is the lifestyle. They accept this lifestyle. They're enjoying it. But we need to think at least that we have, do we have iman? Belief? Yes, when you go, you can't even go to the shopping in the marketplace without following the sunnah. You can't go anywhere else in the environment without the sunnah. You cannot live the life of Islam without sunnah. But all we're thinking is the money is coming, chickens are coming from the butcher shop, we're eating. This is not deen. If you want to live here, then demonstrate your life here as a mu'min, as a believer. If you're living here, if you must live here. Children, they don't know about salah, no uloom, no knowledge, nothing, just money, cars. We've come to England and life here and future. If we put visas on everyone's passport, everybody will come in. Is this success? Yes, they say, when did we tell you to come in? When did we say to you to come in? We don't want anyone. So brother, straightforward point. Live here, definitely come here, but live with iman. Don't live here with quarrel and argument. Live here with iman, with belief. No need to quarrel and argue. It's their country, do what they want. Yes, and the way they want us to live here, by it, we have to. Obviously, you have to give up. Yes, but will you sacrifice your deen? You can't sacrifice deen. If you can't sacrifice your deen, then go back to your country. Live there, the country came from. But don't quarrel here and argue and fight it. Don't compete. It's unfair. Don't enforce yourself. Don't say to them that they're bad. That's unfair. You've come here to their country. Say Subhanallah. You can't hear the Subhanallah. Can't hear it. You sat here cold. Yes. They didn't tell us to come here. It's their country. You've come here. Live here. Then live here properly. Come here. No, I'm here. We want Kaaba here is what we say. Yes. So this is your great achievement, is it? You come here to fight and quarrel. You come here to do fasad. So khair, alhamdulillah. The point is this, that if we say we are belong to the Prophet Muhammad SAW, my brothers, if you want to be successful in this world thereafter, it won't be for money, wealth, maal. No worldly material thing will give us success. The food, you will get that Allah's destined in your destiny. Allah said, I've destined for you the amount of bread you will eat. It's same here. Whichever country you go to in the world, you'll get the same amount of bread. If you get bread with iman, that's the best thing. Without that, you should have bread with haya, modesty, with peace in the heart. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq ability to do this. And may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice the sunnahs of Rasulullah and in Rabiul Awal. Just like Allah has given us this understanding, Rabiul Awal, this final hadith of Shaykh, may Allah Ta'ala allow us to be raised with this group. Give us such a love and of the itibar that we rise with this group as well in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sayyidu al-rushi.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المؤمنين هو ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم صمتنا على الايمان وامتنا على الايمان واجعلنا يوم القيامه مع الايمان ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا قاضي الحاجات اقطع حاجاتنا يا دافع البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا جافي المراد اشفع مرادنا يا جافي المراد اشفع مرادنا يا جافي المراد اشفع مرادنا اللهم اعفنا في بدني اللهم اعفنا في سمي اللهم اعفنا في بصري لا اله الا انت اللهم انا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الله يا مؤمن والنوات برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.